Not a movie star, TV star.
Not an astronaut. Like when you think when you were little, what were the big jobs? Yeah. People want to be YouTube stars and everyone thinks they can do it.
Wow. Well, because I guess in some ways you can. It's more, that's more accessible than becoming an astronaut or a movie star, right? Right. That I think that's why it seems so attractive.
Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And I am here with Chris Roby today. And
hey guys, I just talked over you. I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I was just going to introduce myself. I just left that out. I'm Carly Duke, in case you're new.
Yes. And I just drove right over your intro.
It's okay, Chris. I see what you did there. That took me a minute. Yes. I missed it.
Yes.
Would you like to explain what you did there, Chris?
Yes, that's called a segue, even though I think this is a little early in the podcast for a segue, but
we'll roll
segue, segues drive to you.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go.
So today we are talking about driving, especially in the context of teenagers.
Yeah, yeah. This was a big deal when I was a teenager. Like I got my license as soon as I possibly can.
The morning of my 16th birthday. My parents drove me to the DMV. I got my license and I drove myself to school on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember getting my first car for my 16th birthday. It was a piece of junk. And I was so, it was a standard. I mean, it was great. But yeah, I remember vividly around my 16th birthday, depending on what state you're in, is different. But that was big.
It was. But what's so interesting, what we want to talk today about, we're going to hit a few different things on driving with teenagers. But one of the things that we have found is that teenagers are getting their driver's license later in life.
That's right. And, I've worked with teenagers a long time. As we were preparing for this episode, I was recalling that back 10 or 12 years ago when I was working with teenagers, this was happening then too. Like, like this has been a slow progression of teenagers just not feeling compelled to get their license right when they're able to.
Right. So just a quick stat, and you can find this on our website too. But in 1983, 46% of 16-year-olds had their license.
Okay.
2018, only 25%.
Wow.
And at 18 in 2018, only 60% of teenagers had their license at 18.
Wow.
Where in the 80s, it was 80%. So we are definitely seeing trends are showing that teenagers are getting it later and later. And it's hard to find stats on why.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few guesses though.
All right.
So my guess... It's easier to connect with friends at home now.
Right.
Through your phone, through gaming, through social media, where when I was growing up and even before that, the way that you hung out with friends and were social is you had to get in your car and go somewhere.
Right, right. And that was definitely my experience when I was growing up was if I even wanted to see anyone, I grew up before cell phones were really a thing. And so it was... especially as a guy, I didn't want to pick up the phone and talk to my guy friends. This wasn't something we really did,
Man.
But yeah, it was going to the house, going out to movie, any of that kind of stuff. It meant you have to drive. And at that time, my parents weren't interested in doing that for me anymore. And so that's what we did.
Exactly. So with that, though, there are teenagers who are driving. Mm-hmm. Or if they're not driving, their friends are. So they are getting in a car with someone who's a teenager, most likely.
Right.
And so we wanted to talk through a few things and not necessarily even give answers, but just here are some conversations that you need to be having with your teenager. So curfew, this might be when the curfew conversation comes up.
Absolutely. Because driving at night is a lot more dangerous than driving during the day. There's a lot more that can go wrong. And so especially the later that you get, the more likely there's an accident or some kind of mishap. And so this is where we're able to kind of join curfew in with driving.
Exactly. And one thing Chris and I actually talked about before we pressed record is different cities have curfews.
Right.
Like they will have curfews. If you're under 18, you cannot be driving past 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or midnight. And what's so interesting is different cities have different curfews. And I remember when I was in high school, even if the city I lived in had a later curfew, if I was driving through, I'm pretty sure around us like Grapevine or something had an earlier curfew. And if I was driving through and got pulled over, I could get a ticket even though I was going somewhere where the curfew was later.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are tough rules for sure.
Exactly. And so as a parent or as an adult, be aware of those. Look into what are the laws around me the cities around us. And that's a real easy way to say, sorry, this is a curfew, because if you get pulled over, you could get a ticket. This isn't my curfew. It's the city's curfew.
Right. And I think also being mindful of what your city and state laws are about how many can be in the car with your teenager.
Right.
When I was growing up, it was, you could only have one in the car till, and I don't remember the year, but there's a certain amount of time after you get your license. It's just you and one other passenger, or the passengers had to sit in the back seat. Those things have changed since then, but, and I couldn't really tell you exactly like our local laws because I don't have a teenager driving yet, but I guarantee you when we do, those are things that I'm going to want to know as a parent.
Right. And so having those conversations and asking, especially after you look over those laws, who is in your car? Who are you driving around? Who are you driving with? And know that. How long have they had their license? How good of a driver are they? Have they ever gotten in any accidents? Have those conversations and be asking those questions with your teenager.
Absolutely. Also, one of the things that we have at our disposal now is technology, right? And so being able to use technology to be able to know where your kid is. And so that for a lot of parents is an agreement on, hey, if we're going to get you a car, we're going to, you know, get you a license, then let's make sure we know where each other are at any given time. And there's great apps for that. There's Find My Friends on Apple. There's Life 360 that a lot of families will all get on that same thing. So it's not only you tracking them, they're tracking you as a parent, right? So it's kind of a reciprocal thing where it's not just you not trusting them, but there's some comfort in knowing, and especially being able to utilize technology to know where each other are.
One interesting thing that I'll bring up too is with technology, that also provides a distraction when driving, especially for teenagers who are new drivers, who have friends who are texting them, might be listening to something, watching something, talking on the phone. So have those conversations. But one tip I'll give for this is make sure when you're driving, you're also following that same rule. As a parent, it is real easy for me, if I'm sitting in the passenger seat, to get mad at my husband for being on his phone. And then I'll catch myself doing it. And I have a almost 4-year-old in the back seat who's like, mommy, put your phone up. But if you're not modeling that at a young age, even now I need to be modeling that. But with your teenager, you tell your teenager, hey, you can't text and drive. And every time you drive, you're texting. Or every time you drive, you're on your phone. They're going to see that that's okay.
Well, and along those lines with technology, I know at least with iPhones, you can set it to where if you're driving, it locks.
Right.
Where, or at least will ask you, are you driving or not? So it kind of gives you the extra step, extra piece of accountability. Sometimes it's just kind of teaching your, maybe from day one, hey, when we get in the car, the phone goes in the glove box or whatever that looks like, just so they can get used to not having that there at all times, checking text, whatever that kind of is. But a lot of phones have that technology to be able to kill notifications, kill things coming through while you're actually on the road. One other thing I'd say to Carly, before we get off the driving topic, is there's these teachable skills that we can impart with teenagers as well that it don't have a lot to do with driving, but just even taking care of the vehicle, right? And so, you know, how do you change a tire? Or if you get in a situation, who do you call? Where do you go? Who needs to be involved with that? And so, you know, is there someone else you could call if mom and dad aren't available? Or, you know, is there, you know, a family friend or someone local that you know, hey, I can call them if I'm in trouble? When do you call the police? Those kinds of things.
Well, and even if you get in a wreck, what's that process look like? Obviously, we hope that our teenagers don't get in wrecks, but assume that they might and prepare them for that. So that looks like pull to the side of the road where it's safe. If they are getting pulled over by a police officer, where do you pull over? And what does that look like when you are being approached by a cop? What information do you have to have? How do you speak to them? Once again, if you're in a car accident, what information do you need to get from the other driver? Do you need to take pictures? Walk through that with your teenager. So when they're in that situation, they're not panicked, but they're like, we've talked through this. I know what to do and I'm ready.
And there's great teachable moments through all of that where those relationships can be built. And I think for teenagers, the older that they get, or the more time goes by with them being on social media and knowing the dangers of the world around them, you know, being constantly bombarded with images and stories, I got to think it's a little more scary to get out behind the wheel than maybe it would have been for someone like me who didn't have all that.
Right.
And so for them to be armed with just some special knowledge, like, hey, if your license lets you know you are able to drive and you're proficient, but if something happens, it's going to be okay.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Carly Duke, and we have been getting incredible feedback on our podcast, and we wanted to give you three quick ways to show your love to the Teen Life podcast. So first of all, if you're not subscribed already, go into your favorite podcast app and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. I promise we have some incredible stuff coming up soon, and you will not want to miss a single trend, tip, or topic that we're talking about when it comes to teenagers. The second thing you can do is go into your app and review the podcast. Give any suggestions, tell us your favorite episode. We would love to hear from you in your favorite podcast app. And then finally, if you know someone else that you think would love this podcast, please share it. Share it on social media or just text a link to your friend and make sure that others know about this resource so that they can join in the conversation as well. As you know, we do not believe that teenagers are a problem to be solved, and we are so glad that you're with us to help connect to teenagers.
For the trend today, as we're talking about teachable skills, one place that you could really go to find these that has everything is a little website called YouTube.
YouTube.
So interesting. I did a deep dive into YouTube, which can take you so many places.
Yes.
But did you know that 77% of 15 to 25-year-olds use YouTube?
77%. Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
That's a lot. And it's technically the second largest search engine in the world behind Google.
Wow.
So I wouldn't consider a search engine. But as I was saying, like if you need to look up how to change a tire, you can put that into YouTube and you can find every single video that will teach you how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. What a wonderful tool.
But also could be a scary tool.
Yeah. And I think people don't realize that when it comes to YouTube is that I tell people all the time, you can learn anything you want to on YouTube. I mean, literally, if you want to become a master guitar player, you can figure it on YouTube. If you want to, with my truck, I had a very specific weird issue going on. I typed it in. There was someone talking about it and I figured it out. And I was like, how cool is this? You know? And so you would assume with something that has such potential positive impact, you don't think as much about the downside and where that could take you. But YouTube's got some problems.
It does. So two things that came out in the last year or two was the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma,
right,
which talked about social media as a whole, but it also talked about YouTube and the dangers of YouTube. And then a podcast called The Rabbit Hole.
Mm.
And Chris, you actually were the one that told me about this podcast and told me I needed to listen to it.
Yeah, it was highly impactful. I mean, it's New York Times, and so it's always well produced and good storytelling. But they follow certain people who get sucked down what they call these YouTube rabbit holes, where they kind of start as being pretty normal, sensible people watching something that was interesting to them, or maybe something that their friends referred them to. And then after that video is done, then YouTube pops up another recommendation of something very similar to that, but not exactly that. And it kind of bumps them in a certain direction based upon what's called the YouTube algorithm.
Mm-hmm. And actually a stat that I found said that 70% of what people watch on YouTube is actually determined by this algorithm.
70%. Wow.
70%. So you think you're going to YouTube to watch a specific thing, and that might be how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could end up going down a rabbit hole of video after video after video that's chosen for you. And then you watch a video that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch another video that's a little different off that. And what the Rabbit Hole podcast does is it like takes you through, has a few different stories, but this one person who went from, like you said, somewhat normal to conspiracies and just totally changed what they believed based on YouTube and what they were watching.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that happens gradually and with, but some people will end up, and I mean, I can be accused of this too, where hours go by and all of a sudden, like I've been sitting here watching, you know, because of the way that YouTube is set up, it really does suck you in and you kind of lose track of time. It's like being in a casino almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people who time plus this algorithm all of a sudden be watching things that like in the normal times, like they would never agree with or think is crazy, but all of a sudden they're consuming it and maybe considering it.
Right.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it said that the average viewing session is 40 minutes.
Wow.
And so most videos probably aren't 40 minutes, but you're starting with something and you will watch for 40 minutes. That's
right.
The average.
Exactly.
So that's crazy too. Chris, talking about YouTube, what are some of Like, why? Well, let's talk about why it's popular. Mm-hmm. But for you personally, do you watch YouTube?
Yeah, and usually it's to figure things out. I tend to like to fix things myself. I don't like to pay for someone to come and fix something I can figure out. And that's the wonder of YouTube to me, is I can figure out, you know, very simple tasks of maybe something I don't quite know how to do, but I can get, kind of gets me over the edge, gives me some confidence. I'm a musician, so I learn stuff, you know, a lot of music stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And if you look on my YouTube feed, you can see it popping up. There's just guitar player after guitar player, or old music sessions, or, but sometimes it's, like I said, it's something I'm trying to fix or something I'm trying to figure out. I'm building my wife a blanket ladder right now. And I Googled that or YouTube that, and there's all these great ideas behind that on there.
In the pandemic, I taught myself how to crochet.
Oh.
From YouTube.
Oh, man.
Which Josh says I'm an old lady. that was my hobby of choice in the pandemic. But I just needed something to do with my hands. And that was an easy one.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I love doing that. My toddler loves Dude Perfect. Mm-hmm. We watch a lot of Dude Perfect
videos.
Big
player in my house, too. Yeah.
Cocomelon, which obviously these are things that now teenagers might watch Dude Perfect. Cocomelon, probably not, because that is very much a little kid show. But what I found, and just anecdotally too, there's constant new contact, constant. I saw somewhere that 500 hours of video are uploaded per minute.
Wow.
Per minute. That's crazy. And so YouTube is popular because you can go on every single day, every single minute, and find something new and find something that's up to date. It's very much an in the moment response. You can find, that's how a lot of teenagers might find their news. Mm-hmm. Or watch sports, because you can watch highlight reels instead of having to watch the whole thing. You can just watch highlights. Mm-hmm. It's stress relief. There are vlogs. There are gaming channels. This makes no sense to me. And I'm sure we will talk about this in another episode. But teenagers will go on and watch people play video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, I think playing video games is a lot more fun than actually watching someone play. And I know there have been times where my kid's been like stuck on a level. So we'll YouTube that specific scenario and find someone who's beat it and kind of shows us how to do it. Mm-hmm. Like when he started playing Minecraft, like I didn't understand it at all. So I had to watch a video to figure out how does this all work, right? But yeah, just sitting and watching someone play is, it's great for people who love it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what's fun about YouTube. There's something for everyone, but there's also something for everyone, which can be dangerous. And then another one that's obviously big is music.
Mm-hmm.
Music videos. The top videos, I looked this up, are, do you know what the top video is, Chris? Would you have any guesses?
I have no idea.
So the top, this makes me laugh. The top video is Baby Shark.
Really?
It has 7.9 billion views on YouTube.
For Baby Shark.
For Baby Shark.
Wow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then the second one is Despacito. Mm-hmm. And then Shape of You by Ed Sheeran is third. And so for the top
These are three, recent stats?
Yes.
Really? Despacito was like the 2019 big song of the summer, right?
I know, but this is Baby Shark beat it.
It just got a head start, I guess, huh? Wow.
And so that's what's so interesting is the top three are music. So obviously music is really popular on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But what is fascinating to me too is this new era of the job of a YouTube star.
Mm-hmm.
Which sound, I think as an adult, you would roll your eyes and say, there's no way. There are so many people who are making a living off YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge source of income. And a lot of it is this idea of constantly making content and always having something new and keeping people's attention through that. And so YouTube allows you to do that. And those who understand how that algorithm works, they can make a whole lot of money.
Exactly. So I mentioned Dude Perfect. I know your kids love Dude Perfect, too.
They're the best. And they're local guys for us, too, here in DFW.
Yes. Always clean content. But they are third, according to Forbes, they were the third highest earning YouTube channel. Do you have any idea how much they would have earned in a year?
In a year? 25 million?
You're really not that far off. $23 million.
Wow.
From June 2019 to June 2020, they earned $23 million. They had 2.77 billion views.
Wow.
I mean, that's all, and that's not
just
talking,
that's just views, right?
Yes. And that's not, that's just YouTube. So that's not sponsorships. That's not any content that they put in there. That's not merchandise. That is a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money.
And I think what's so interesting, I read somewhere, and we'll put all these stats in, but that to Gen Z, their celebrities are YouTube influencers. And now kids, if you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, you're getting the answer of, I want to be a YouTube star.
Not a movie star, TV star.
Not an astronaut. Like when you think when you were little, what were the big jobs? Yeah. People want to be YouTube stars and everyone thinks they can do it.
Wow. Well, because I guess in some ways you can. It's more, that's more accessible than becoming an astronaut or a movie star, right? Right. That I think that's why it seems so attractive.
Right. And I agree. There are so many people who do this well, but it's also people who do it well are the ones who have been around for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so it's something to take into account for this new generation who are coming in behind. And so obviously YouTube is big. We encourage you, ask your student, what are you watching? What are your friends watching? Who do you follow? They probably subscribe to people. Mm-hmm. And then also, do you ever get down a rabbit hole and realize that you're watching something that you maybe wouldn't have started with?
Yeah. And I think this is really where the Columbo approach we talk about some that Dr. Beth Robinson shared with us a couple seasons ago. This idea of just kind of bumbling into something. And even if you know a little bit about it, just be curious and act like you don't know anything and have your student teach you about what's on YouTube, what's popular, be the dork, be the one that doesn't know what's going on, and have them actually teach you and give you some insight into what is popular. Obviously, you can look on, you know, top 10 list of, you know, big YouTube stars, but I mean, there's a lot out there that people are into, even if they aren't trending on the top line.
Okay, Chris, are you ready for our tip for today?
Absolutely.
So today's tip, this might sound super simple, but is to set calendar events or reminders on your phone so you don't forget things.
So this is about not being forgetful?
Exactly.
Oh, and I need this, Carly.
But this sounds simple, but set reminders for birthdays. Mm-hmm. If you have a teenager in your life, family members, anniversaries, one that is also could be big is a death anniversary. Mm-hmm. If you know a teenager who lost a loved one or a parent, put that anniversary in your calendar, put it as a reoccurring annually. And that way every year on that day, you'll get a reminder. I need to check in on that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to check in on that teen and ask how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I can send flowers or, hey, it's been 10 years and this is probably really difficult. I need to check on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a powerful little tool. And it really just takes us remembering to enter it. Some of it's if you have a voice assistant, you can ask them to remind you at a certain point about a certain anniversary or a certain thing. But this is, you know, Teen Life Podcast is all about connections, right? And this is a way to deepen connections because it always, especially for a teenager, to have an adult remember something specific about them has a lot of power. In our support groups, when we're able to do week over week, whenever I hear a student talk about something in week one, I bring it back in week six and I see that smile or that kind of their head pop up because I remembered it. This world is so distracted. We have so many things competing for our attention. And something like this could really help us make that connection where a student knows, hey, they're paying attention.
Right. And I don't know about you, but so often I'll tell a teenager or just a friend, hey, we should get lunch sometime. Mm-hmm. And then I totally forget. We never actually set a calendar or reminder. So recently I told that to someone and she told me that she was going out of town. And I said, well, when will you be back? I set a reminder for a week after she gets back on my calendar to follow up with her. Hmm. So then, when that goes off, I'll know, okay, I need to call her and ask her, let's actually set a lunch date. Hmm. And so little things like that, if they tell you about a big test or something, tryouts for band, put that in your calendar so you remember, okay, this already happened. So now I can ask about it.
Absolutely. It's a powerful tool. It's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of us remembering to enter that data.
Exactly.
Alright, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.